The first reading is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, skipping over the chapter break to chapter 5, verse 2. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom we are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Lynn, can you come up and I'll ask God's blessing on you as you bring us the word? Lord God, thank you that you've uniquely gifted and blessed Lynn to be your child and also to be a minister, and that you've uniquely blessed and gifted us as a congregation to have her share with us. I just ask now that you give her words to say that will be from you. Give us ears to listen to the words that come from you also, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ben. What is hope? You know, we could describe it as a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. Or if you were to check Wikipedia, hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on the expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. It's a little wordy, and perhaps it's because hope is actually very difficult to explain. You know, what do you hope? What do you hope for? Often hope is understood as wishful thinking, as in, I hope something will happen. But this is not what the Bible means by hope. One of the biblical definitions of hope is confident expectation. Psalm 130 speaks of putting our hope in God and God's forgiveness and unfailing love. I just find the Psalms amazing. They're this collection of songs and prayers. It's actually a collection of collections. Scholars believe that it was put together in its final form with intentional design by temple personnel about the 3rd century BCE, or before the Common Era, after Israel's exile. The Psalms are poetry from beginning to end. There are 150 Hebrew poems divided into 5 books with all these different classifications. Psalms contain almost every human emotion exposed in prayer. We find praise, anger, desperation, thanksgiving, confession, jealousy, devotion, yearning, hope, frustration, fear, peace, and much more. They reflect most of our different life experiences. I love the raw emotion in Psalms, the way that David and other writers just, they pour out their hearts with profound praise to unspeakable anger and doubt. For centuries, the Psalms have been this source of learning and inspiration about how we as individuals, as well as communities of faith, can worship, live by faith, and serve God. They teach us the importance of prayer. They help us to acknowledge pain in our lives, and they're a helpful resource for conversation with God about the things that matter most. And they can speak into our current situations. When we experience anxiety or depression, Psalm 13 is a great encouragement. For comfort and strength, Psalm 23. Why not, as you read them, make a list of psalms to read in the different circumstances that we find ourselves? For a great introduction or an overview of Psalms, go to the YouTube Bible Project. I don't know how many of you have discovered Bible Project. But they have a great 8-minute overview that's well worth watching. The Psalms are a book of prayer and praise. And then in Psalm 130, we find this expression of confidence together with a complaint, in a sense, about the circumstance, which is a pattern of lament psalms. Lament isn't a word that we use in everyday language. It means passionate expression of grief or sorrow or a complaint. And that's how this starts. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. It opens with this cry for help. The depths refers to the depths of the seas, but figuratively, it refers to troubles and misfortunes. We don't know what it was. Was it physical suffering or life-threatening situation? It's not identified, and in many ways, that helps us to identify with it. I think we all have out-of-the-depths times in our lives, experiences where we hurt or grieve, where we have health issues, which might be physical or psychological or emotional, times of great distress, relationship breakdown, family or work issues, fear, or times when we've lost hope. And it's not just a once-off. You know, this is a recurring situation in the Hebrew language that it was written in. It's not one individual incident. Sometimes when we're out of the depths, it's when we reach out to God urgently. I know I've cried out to God from the depths. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. In this cry for help, we find this personification of God. God with ears. Now, God may have ears, as humankind is made in the image of God, but what is more important here is this sense of God leaning in to hear us. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? There's this indirect confession of sin. No person is without sin. Who could stand? It's a good understanding of human nature. But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. We have this indirect prayer seeking forgiveness, and therefore we serve God with reverence. I find forgiveness such a wonder, and the longer I'm a Christian, the more I wonder at it. I had a cancer journey late last year and early this year. And from the diagnosis, I had 2 months to wait for surgery, and the awareness of that cancer in my body just grew over that time. In the waiting, I discovered anew that God is in the waiting, and God's in the hoping, and God's in the messiness of that experience. We received the pathology results a week after surgery, another week of waiting. And I remember the feeling when we were told that the margins were clear. The cancer was gone. It was like this weight just lifted from my body. And I remember thinking, clear? What do you mean clear? And I wonder if that's a bit like sin in our lives. Sin is not just a violation of moral code. Sin can be personal or communal. If we think of sin as human rejection of God's grace, unhealthy relationships that we hold, apathy to violence or injustice, unfaithfulness to God and others, we could summarize it as rejection to God, neighbors, or creation. And when we read the paper or the news online, I think there's a fair bit of that in our everyday living. In the psalm, the author appears to be referring to personal sin. So that's my rejection of God, neighbor, and creation. It's the things I do say and even think that separate me from God, or me from others, or harm me. It's my judgment of others. It's my pride. It's the awareness that I judge myself by my intentions, but somehow I judge others by what they actually say and do. So this sin exists in my life, just as the cancer was in my body. And there's this intervention. For my cancer, it was surgery. For us as Christians, it's Christ's death, enabling us to participate in his death rather than just a payment of justice. And hence, Christ's death enables us to die to sin, and baptism models that so well for us. Through Christ's death, our sins are forgiven. The pathology results are clear. The weight is lifted. There is one big difference. You know, I have this 5-centimeter scar as a reminder of my freedom. But it's Jesus who carries the scars of our forgiveness from sin. And we're left wondering, forgiven? What do you mean, forgiven? The wonder. Can I just pause in that for a moment? Because in a group of this size, there are people that are likely to be going through cancer, either journeys ourselves or with loved ones, and sometimes the results aren't clear and it's a particularly difficult road. I just want to acknowledge that. It takes a village to walk with cancer or any difficulty in our life, and I hope you find part of that village here. People to love you, care for you, and pray with you in that. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. There is a beautiful expression of hope here, based on the knowledge of the goodness of the Lord to his covenant people. The term his word refers to his covenant promises. Now, I was recently in a meeting where we talked about the difference between contract and a covenant. And it made me think that, a contract is between two or more parties and we agree on certain things. So, for instance, when we sign a contract with an employer. And if a party doesn't abide by the contract, there are consequences. Now, an example of a covenant is marriage. It's two different people agreeing to share their lives together, and it's not descriptive about how. And in fact, in a marriage relationship, one often spends the lifetime of the marriage trying to work out how. And contrast this to the agreements that Sheldon has in the Big Bang Theory. Now, who's watched any of the Big Bang Theory? Any fans here? Oh, good. I enjoy this show. I've lived in environments a bit like that. Now, Sheldon has this roommate agreement, capital R, capital A. It has clauses and subclauses that he can recite at any moment. It's the ultimate contract. And it even has a relationship agreement, capital R, capital A, with his girlfriend Amy, again with clauses and subclauses. And this whole narrative of the show is Sheldon is trying so hard to understand that relationships are far more than contracts or agreements. You know, in the Old Testament, we have a covenant between God and Israel, and Israel keeps breaking that covenant. God keeps giving them another chance. In this covenant, God models the continual seeking of reconciliation together. And I think that's what differentiates a covenant to a contract. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. You know, in this time, watchmen, and they would have been men, were posted on watch duties at night. Now, it could have been guards, or it could have been Levites keeping watch at the temple. Whoever it was, they were waiting for the morning, waiting for the dawn, certain that it would come. And it's repeated for emphasis. Have you waited for the morning? Sometimes I wake up in the early hours of the morning and I get up and read, and I guess you could say I'm waiting for the morning. I watch for the night to change. I wait for the light to take the garden from night to day. And like the watchman talked about here, I'm certain that morning will come. And the author is saying that he waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. There is a certainty here that the Lord is coming, the Lord is present, and I wait with my whole being in anticipation, with hopeful, eager expectation. I wait in hope. And the author makes a commitment to wait and hope. And then we get to the final two verses. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love. With him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Here we have an invitation to share the psalmist's experience. We go from an individual experience to community. The author invites the community to share the experience, sharing the wonder of the experience with others. This takes the personal to the communal and encourages us to share the liberating experience with others. God's unfailing love is the devotion of the Lord to the covenant with God's people. The full redemption is eschatological. It's a big word about pointing to the return of Christ. We live in the in-between time between Christ's death and resurrection and Christ's return. In the basis of union of the uniting church, it puts it so well. The church lives between the time of Christ's death and resurrection and the final consummation of all things which Christ will bring. God in Christ has given to all people in the church the Holy Spirit as a pledge and foretaste of that coming reconciliation and renewal, which is the end in view for the whole creation. Here is our hope. Full redemption. So what do we take from today into this week? You know, what does this little psalm mean for us in our everyday living? In the first two verses, the Hebrew words include both a sense of urgency and a present and repeated cycle. This is not a one-off. Every experience of forgiveness foreshadows the final redemption, a deliverance, a rescue from sin and its consequences. It's the end in view for the whole creation. And the church's call, our call, is to serve that end, to be a fellowship of reconciliation, a body within which the diverse gifts of its members are used for the building up of the whole. An instrument through which Christ may work and bear witness to himself. Now we see this in the Ephesians 4 reading that we heard, which speaks of being a body together. And as the body, we put off falsehood. We speak truthfully. We share with those in need. We build others up. We get rid of bitterness, rage, slander, and anger. We're to be kind and compassionate to one another and forgive each other as God forgives us. And finally, these words in chapter 5. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Walk in the way of love as we are forgiven. It sort of reminds me a bit of Bishop Curry's sermon at the royal wedding earlier this year, where He asked us to imagine a world where love is the way. When love is the way, no child would go to bed hungry. Poverty will become history. The earth will become a sanctuary. We will lay down our swords and shields. We will actually treat each other like we are actually family. We acknowledge that we are all brothers and sisters, children of God, and that's a new heaven, a new earth, a new world, and a new human family. Friends, there's hope right there. This psalm speaks to us in our everyday lives. It helps us to acknowledge the times we have in the depths and to cry out to God in those times, confident that God leans in to hear us. We are reminded that we are forgiven and we wait for God and put our hope in our relationship with God. And we share the wonder of this with our community and look to the future hope, the return of Christ, as we walk in the way of love. Let's pray together. Father, Creator God, thank you for your amazing love, for the covenant that you make with us, for the relationship that you seek with us. We pray that in our busy lives we would find time and space to draw near to you, to cry out to you in that messiness of our lives, to seek your presence and to grow in our faith. Loving God, we are sorry for our sin, for those things that we think, say and do that are not of you, that separate us from you or others, for our rejection of you and others and creation. Thank you that through Jesus' death on the cross, that these things, our sins, are forgiven so that we might know forgiveness and deliverance. Lord Jesus, help us to wait on God, to put our hope in God. Help us to walk in the way of love together. Holy Spirit, help us to share the wonder of our relationship with God with others. Help us to find you in oceans deep. Help us to call upon your name, to keep our eyes above the waves when they threaten to overwhelm us. Holy Spirit, be our guide, we pray. Amen.